Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of the week, one of our favorite times of the week, Mr. Nick Kostos in to help us break down some of these games. Let me find my special Nick Kostos read that you didn't send me.
Yes, that is all on me, Joe.
Yes, it is.
I should have gave you that.
But guess who saved it? The savvy old news hound. Except when he didn't. Yes, on the line is Nick Kostos, host of You Better You Bet, an Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check the latest lines on the BetMGM app. Catch You Better You Bet weekdays 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern and You Better You Bet countdown to kickoff Sundays 11 to 1 Eastern, leading you up to kickoff on the BetMGM network on the Odyssey app. Nick, great to see and hear from you again. My picking acumen ended with Bo Nix. I then went to the Bengals, and then I bet on the... Didn't we have a bet on the Steelers game last week? Was that the one?
We may have. I took the Bills, and...
I know you did.
And they had... What was funny was... Well, not funny, I think, for you guys in Pittsburgh, but the Bills... Joe, like, did you ever play Tecmo Bowl back in the day?
Of course I did. Yes.
Yeah, so for the younger viewers, Tecmo Bowl was like the first awesome football video game.
Oh my
I think
God.
It came out in like the late 80s, and then the really big one was Tecmo Super Bowl, which was came out after the Giants beat the Bills in Super Bowl 25.
Yes.
And that was the first game where I was like 7 or 8 years old. I used to keep track and write down all the stats from all the games, like play everything out. It was really awesome. But at Tecmo Bowl, you basically had a four-play playbook, right? It was a couple run plays and a couple pass plays. The Buffalo Bills had two plays that they ran last week against the Steelers. Run left and run right. And the Steelers couldn't
stop. That would have been a great line.
And I thought it was absolutely ridiculous.
That would have been a great line for my column now that I think about it. That's what it was. It was Tecmo Bowl. Did you ever play Stratomatic or APPA football, Nick?
So Stratomatic was like a little bit before my time.
Yeah.
I'm aware of it. I know that it existed, but I'm like a child of like the late 80s and early 90s, where that was when like we started getting video games. So I like just missed Stratomatic, but if I had been old enough, you bet your bottom dollar that I would have been into it.
Unbelievable.
I love all that stuff.
What games we had. And yes, just like you, I would keep stats. Who's going to keep stats on Ravens Steelers? I hope nobody. This is too... struggling teams. They both stink right now. How do you look at this game?
So you guys know, because I talked to you guys before Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah.
It was, and Bob is on the show. Okay. Because I have a young child and all the days kind of blend together. What I said prior to that game was, and I did, like, this is going to sound like, wow, look how great I am. I got the other two games wrong on Thanksgiving. But I did like the Bengals on Thanksgiving night. And my rationale, Joe, if you remember, was it has nothing to do with Joe Burrow coming back. And everything to do with the fact that Lamar Jackson's not healthy. And I think it's pretty obvious that he's not healthy. Now, I watched the game on Thursday night. We all did. And Lamar was terrible in the game. He was bad. I actually thought he looked like pretty good, though, like moving around.
I thought he looked
healthy in the game.
Yeah.
So I think what we got was like a really good quarterback just had a bad game. And if that's true, I think what's likely is that Lamar bounces back and has a better game this weekend against the Steelers. Now, the spread is up to 6, and we have seen this. I mean, this is classic Mike Tomlin Steelers. Backs against the wall. Everyone, including me, is calling for him to be fired. Like, the defense was absolutely embarrassed, and now they're going to come out and probably, like, you know, like Tyler Loop will miss 5 field goals like Tucker did last year, and they'll end up winning this game somehow. I don't want to lay the Ravens in the game. I think the point spread's a little too big. I do think Baltimore is going to win, though. So I do like Baltimore as like a money line parlay piece. I don't think it's impossible for the Steelers to win. I think Aaron Rodgers might be off the cliff. And I am actually like the biggest Aaron Rodgers fan in the media. Like, and people can hate him, and that's fine. I like him, and I think he's an awesome quarterback. I think he might be done, might be. And I think this is not a great situation for the Steelers here. Now, for my betting interest, Joe, and I always say this to your audience, I bet the Steelers to make the playoffs before the season. I would love for Pittsburgh to win this game. I don't think they're going to. I think Baltimore wins. Do they cover? I'm not sure, but I do think the Ravens win.
Yeah, I thought the same thing as you. There was a narrative still that Lamar looks injured. No, that was the first time he didn't look injured. He was running around. He was sprinting around. They had two touchdowns that were touchdowns that weren't because of weird stuff that happened. I'm with you on that one.
I think you'll get a much better Lamar game. And the stunning thing about the Steelers, and I know, like, when I do this on other shows, like, I can get a little more in depth because it's not like your audience obviously follows it so closely. And we used to see this with all the Patriots games, right? When Brady was quarterback, when it was like insert undersized white slot receiver, you know, Edelman, Welker, Chris Hogan, and the Steelers would cover that slot receiver with a linebacker every time they'd play.
Every time.
And they would just tear them up.
Every time.
Never changed.
Every time they would do it.
And Joe, it makes me think there are two games this year that really stand out to me when we think about that. The first Bengals game, when the game plan against Ja'Marr Chase is the most brain-dead defensive game plan I've ever seen in my 35 years watching the NFL, where it's like, here's the best receiver in the league. Our game plan is going to be to not cover him. Like, you deserve to lose.
Exactly.
And then, like, T.J. Watt's going to the Hall of Fame, so I don't want anyone to confuse what I'm about to say here. But when T.J. Watt says after the Bills game on Sunday, I've never seen a team run the same play over and over again and have that much success as the Bills did today, it's like, dude, you play on that defense. Why didn't you guys do something about it? Like, what do Mike Tomlin and Terrell Austin do? And I'm not saying, like, Tomlin's a great coach. He'll get another job if he leaves the Steelers. I'm not trying to bag on him overall. But, like, what are they doing during these games that they're not adjusting at all? That they're doing the same thing, and it's not working. So, I mean, like, can they win? Yes. Like, they pulled the rabbit out of their derrieres before. I don't want to bet on it happening this week.
All right. How about this? You mentioned T.J. Watt. Is Myles Garrett a shoo-in for Defensive Player of the Year if he sets the sack record?
Yes. And I think that's the handicap. Like, does he set the sack record? And if he does, like, he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year. If he doesn't, let's say he falls like a sack or two short, I think it opens up the door for Will Anderson of the Houston Texans, who has another showcase game on Sunday night at the Kansas City Chiefs, who might be without both their... We know for sure the Chiefs are without their left tackle, Josh Simmons. Their swing tackle, Jalen Moore, may be out. And their best offensive lineman, Trey Smith, their left guard, also may be out. Listen, I come on your show every week and on every show I do, including mine, and talk about the Chiefs. And I'm at DEFCON 1 right now with Kansas City. So if Myles Garrett does not break the record, I think the award is Will Anderson's to win.
And what a pleasure it is. What a joy it is to watch the Chiefs suffer. I have to tell you that. I have to, as a guy from Buffalo, and what they've done to the Bills and what they've done to everybody else, the Ravens, the Steelers, everybody else in the AFC. I'm enjoying this thoroughly, Nick. Are they done?
It's us. Not yet. If they lose on Sunday night, yes. And I'm very nervous that they're going to lose on Sunday night. And I am not a Chiefs fan, but I have, like, bet the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl, and I have Chiefs in matchups. Like, I would like for the Chiefs to win. I am very concerned that they're not going to. And I think, Joe, there's an interesting parallel between tonight's game and Sunday night's game, where you can make the case, and it doesn't have to be right, but you can make a case that the two road underdogs of 3 or 3.5 points, Dallas tonight at Detroit, Kansas City or Houston Sunday at Kansas City, that the two underdogs are actually the better team in this moment right now than the favorites playing at home in Detroit and Kansas City. I am very nervous for the Chiefs on Sunday night. It should not be a surprise to anyone if they lose. And it really shouldn't be a surprise if the Texans kind of like have their way with them defensively, if the Chiefs are going to be down three offensive linemen against what is unequivocally the best defense in the league, the Houston Texans.
All right. There's another very interesting game in the AFC, because call me crazy, I don't think the Bengals are done yet. I think 9-8 could win the AFC North, especially if they sweep the Ravens, which they would have to do. They have to win the rest of their games. And I still wonder if Buffalo is even going to make the playoffs. Tell me what you think of Cincy at Buffalo.
Well, I'll take it a step further. Could 8-9 win this division?
Could.
With the way the two teams at the top are playing right
yes.
now. Now, so I have to stay consistent, Joe, with what I said coming into the year. I did not have the Bengals in the playoffs this year with Joe Burrow expected to play 17 games. Because I think the defense, and it's kind of been proven, right? The defense is a total train wreck. A total train wreck. So Burrow's back now. Great. They're 4-8. So do I think the Bengals will make it? I don't. I still think it'll be Baltimore that wins the division. As far as this game goes, though, I can keep my handicap really simple here. Buffalo's a 5.5-point favorite against Cincinnati. I think the Bills defense stinks, and it's Joe Burrow on the other side. I'll take Cincy to keep the game close.
Me too. Me too. Mr. P, would you like to finish with a question for Nick?
Yeah, I would. I'm curious, Nick, just your overall thoughts on TJ Watt, because I know you follow so closely the markets with Defensive Player of the Year, and from where he was last year, seemingly a shoe-in until the final five games where he fell off a cliff to where he is now, how do you view Watt in his future long-term as somebody who could be in the betting market for Defensive Player of the Year or any other sack type of awards?
Yeah, so TJ Watt right now, let's see. TJ Watt's 31, so, you know, probably has like some good, I'm not trying to throw dirt on his career. You know, this has been a really, really disappointing season, right, for the Steelers defense. And not just TJ Watt, for the entirety of this defense, the most expensive defense in the league, and they've been terrible in a lot of these games. So look, like, can TJ Watt still be an excellent player? Of course. Of course he can. Is he going to be the force that he's been at points earlier in his career? I think probably not, just given his age. Doesn't mean he can't be. I still think he's obviously an extremely useful player and can be a really good player. I'm not saying he's done or anything close to it, but I mean, is he, like, he's going to go to the Hall of Fame, right? But that doesn't mean he's a Hall of Fame caliber player at this moment right now. And I don't think that's, and I don't mean that to be insulting, and I don't think it's insulting to say that.
Mm. Nick, we appreciate the time, man. You want to do a bet this week? Do we have a game? Can I salvage any sort of self-esteem here?
Go ahead.
All right. I'm going to take...
Well, just real quick, right now, just to be clear on where we stand,
you guys
owe me right now, correct?
That's correct, that's right. Yes, because Joe didn't heed my advice, Nick, and he tried to double down.
His advice, this guy.
I'll give you an opportunity to double or nothing here.
Okay.
You, what game would you like to do? We'll pick one. We'll go until we find a disagreement.
Green Bay covering against Chicago, 6.5.
I would like to bet Bears 7. So if you want to just call it, because I'm not betting the game unless it goes to 7.
7 it
are
is.
Are you willing to?
Yes,
okay,
I am.
So if the game ends 7, we push.
Yes. If the game ends 8 or more, you can't win by 7.5. If the game ends 8 or more, then Limits is eating steak the following Friday.
No. Then we're even.
Then we're even. I actually like that bet. I like
giving you these unbelievable bets.
You tried to sneak that by me. I like how you tried to sneak that by me. This is why I had to set the parameters at the start for where we were at in all of this. We're even if you win this one.
All right.
So let's call it 7. You have Green Bay -7. Yes. I have Chicago +7 on Sunday. But it has to be 7, not 6.5.
You got it. Thank you, Nick.
Wishing everybody minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck. Nice of Bob to show up today on this Thursday.
Isn't it? It's only Ravens Steelers week. He's busy. I think he's spying today or something. See you, Nick.
Let me tell you something. If that's true, I have more respect for him than I could possibly put into words, and I mean that sincerely.
I'll see you.
Bye, guys.
That was the host of You Better You Bet, Odyssey sports betting insider Nick Kostos. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary. For all your betting and sports talk needs, check out the BetMGM network on the Odyssey app. Limits, do we have Corey Geiger next, the Geiger counter?
Yes, we do. Talk about this coaching search that is just so insane.
Nick Kostos is incredible, isn't he?
Yes.
That guy? He's become my favorite guest of all.
Rapid fire, quick, witty.
Why did I think the Steelers would win that? Well, because the Bills stink. Now I remember.
Yeah, why. I tried. That's why I texted you. Joe, I don't know how you could have felt good about this game.
I didn't feel good about it, but I know that the Bills stink. And they're going to come back this week. And he and I are 100% right that Cincinnati is absolutely going to cover against the Bills. 5.5? Burrow, Chase, and Higgins against defense?
I agree.
And I think Cincinnati's defense has suddenly come around. I was impressed with them against the Ravens. Not that they're good, but I was impressed with them against the Ravens. I honestly think they're the best team in the division right now. I do.
The Bengals.
Absolutely.
With no defense.
Well, I just said they played really well in Baltimore. They suddenly had a pass rush. They look good.
They could have one good game, though.
Yeah.
An outlier.
I think they've actually had a couple. If I had to pick one, if I had to send one team to the playoffs right now, believing it could go the furthest from the AFC North, you're telling me your team wouldn't be the Bengals?
No.
Who would it be?
The Ravens.
They stink.
They're not as bad as the Bengals' defense is, though. They're a more balanced team.
Did you happen to catch the Bengals-Ravens game on Thanksgiving limits?
I did. I watched all of it.
It should have been 47-10.
Well, Baltimore also turned the ball over 5 times.
No, that's their problem.
They gave the
mine.
Game to Cincinnati. The,
no,
Bengals,
they didn't. The Bengals,
early on in that
it.
Game, kicked 3 field goals. I thought that as the Ravens were continuing to say, here you go, please enjoy this Thanksgiving feast that we are providing for you, they didn't want to go and eat the
You're
whole entire
the
meal.
You're moving the goalpost limits. It was a blowout from the very start. The Bengals dominated physically and everywhere else on the field. They're better than the Ravens.
I think we watched 2 different games.
Coming up, the Geiger counter.
Yeah, he's supposed to be at 12:35, Joe. Would you like me to move him up?
What do you mean? Don't we have to take a break?
We do. The break's not going to be that long.
You're not supposed to say break in the radio business limits. It's an intermission.
You said break first, and I just piggybacked off what you said.
We're disagreeing on everything today. What time is the Penguins game?
7.
I disagree. It's at 7:08.
It probably is. Maybe 7:05.
Man, this Penn State thing that we're going to talk to Corey about, I wrote about it for the Post-Gazette today. What a disaster. And how horrible does Pat Kraft look? He looks worse than Milan Kraft in a Penguins uniform. This guy, they fire Franklin, which, by the way, these two ideas can coexist. Penn State was 100% right to fire James Franklin. That needed to happen. And Pat Kraft has completely botched the succession plan. That's true, too. I don't know why people see those as mutually exclusive, if I'm using that phrase correctly. Perhaps we could call in Mulsey for a definition. Both those things are true. They've been, I saw a piece today, now I forget who it was, but he was very good. I just don't know his name. He was talking about 27 different people have rejected them. Limits, that's like Harry Callis in high school. 27 people?
I don't know about 27 if that number's accurate, but it's definitely double digits, yeah. Think about all the coaches that have received significant raises to stay at their respective...
Cignetti, yeah. Rule, yep. Elko, yep. Sitake, Drinkwitz. Now, we don't know if all of them were, you know, heavily involved with Penn State and if all of them leveraged that to get a raise at their current school, but those were all reported or rumored as Penn State candidates, and lo and behold, they all got raises from their current schools, and that's not even half the list.
They all did.
And Brent Key got one. Brian Hartline winds up at South Florida. Was he a candidate? I don't know. And now there's talk of Jimmy Sexton, the powerful agent, Franklin's powerful agent, being scorned or ticked that Penn State did what they did, and he's poisoning the well on some other candidates here.
I think that's very possible that that is indeed the case.
Now
that
we're talking about Terry Smith, or I don't know.
I think Terry Smith is the only logical way to go right now.
I mean, come on. It's a whole world of football coaches, many of whom are still available. You're
right.
Just going to say Terry Smith is the guy?
Well,
I like Terry Smith, by the way. But the idea of, you know what, we struck out. It's time for Terry Smith and nobody else. There's still a chance you can get a coach here.
And I wonder, and this was floated out there by Joel Klatt yesterday. I was watching on The Herd. He said, is Penn State at this point waiting to see what happens with conference championship weekend?
Maybe.
Like if Alabama loses, people were saying that it was idiotic of me to suggest that DeBoer would be a candidate. But when Joel Klatt, very connected, is the one that says, and he doesn't have any info on it, but he said, could that actually be possible that Kalen DeBoer, they're waiting to see what happens with Alabama. Do they lose and potentially miss the playoff?
They have a better chance of getting former Dallas Stars coach Peter DeBoer.
Yeah, I don't think they're actually going to get Kalen DeBoer.
No.
But I find it fascinating that maybe that is something that they're going to try to pivot to. Because other than that, I mean, Daboll?
Brian Daboll? Who's next limits? Freddie Kitchens?
There's no one out there.
What are we doing here?
And that's why, Joe, despite you saying, sure, there's so many coaches that are out there, I think it would be better to run it back 1 year with Terry Smith and then reassess next year than to...
Reassess what?
Reassess the market.
Go out
see
and
who's
get a
out
coach,
there next
for God's
year.
Sakes.
Well, maybe, yeah, all maybe, the coaches have said no, reassess.
Maybe he's still holding an ace limits, our friend Pat.
He's not. Don't make a hire for the point of making a hire that could screw you up for the next 3-4 years. At this point, they've botched it enough where they should just, Kraft has to put his pride aside and hire Terry Smith for a year, keep the roster together. You have no recruiting class.
What roster?
The players that they have right now, the sophomores and juniors that they have now.
Their recruiting class, they had a photo of two guys.
Yeah, there's two recruits.
What are they going to do, play pickleball? Wait, they have two guys in their whole recruiting class.
Right, so what I'm saying is a lot of the players have said, and it's been reported, that they will stay if Terry Smith is the coach.
Yeah.
If not, they're leaving, and your
I'll
whole entire roster
I'll
is the transfer portal.
About that. And we'll
I don't
see
think,
about that.
And I don't think you're going to hit on a huge, significant amount of transfers that come in. You can't just, this isn't a college basketball
this
roster. You
disaster.
Put five guys on the floor.
It's a disaster. And Penn State looks horrible.
Yes. There's no denying that.
And who knows? Like I told you earlier, maybe Milan Kraft here is, maybe he does. Maybe he has an ace here. Maybe he's holding an ace. Maybe he's playing chess and everybody else playing checkers limits. But I said at the moment, it looks like he's playing charades and he's doing a horrible job of impersonating a competent athletic director. This is a joke. Limits, who are you talking to?
Andy Lindberg came in and gave us a story about Darius Slay.
Did he?
Adam Schefter is reporting that Darius Slay is contemplating retirement and will not report after being claimed off waivers.
Yeah, he must have got a look at the Bills defensive film and said, I ain't joining that. Neither would I. Well, that turned out to be a good signing by Omar, didn't it?
Slay's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, tells ESPN, Slay is honored that a first-class organization like the Bills claimed him, but he is going to take some time away from football right now and decide in the next few days if he wants to keep playing.
Well, if he doesn't want to who's he going to play for? Is he trying to angle his way back to Philly? I don't know.
I think so. Angle his way to the Eagles. Supposedly the Eagles put in a claim for him.
Maybe Darius Slay has a line on the Penn State job. Your new Penn State coach, Darius Slay.
Texter says Penn State should hire Austin Bechtold or Chris Muller as head coach.
Maybe. You didn't even like my line about the charades limits.
I did. You told me about that before the show, and I laughed very loudly.
I was planning that one, and then it all got ruined.
Did you see the picture that intern Dom made on AI of me as the head coach at Penn State?
No, but I certainly want to.
It's me with a headset on and a PSU polo.
Let me ask you a question. What happens first here? Milan Kraft hires a football coach, or he gets fired?
A football coach is hired.
You think so?
And then
I read today where upper level administrators are now getting involved
yes.
in the search. Why don't we ask Corey Geiger about that next? He doesn't hold back with his opinions. I know that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season.
from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It was hard to tell whether the photo was of a football recruiting class or a doubles pickleball team. At one point yesterday, Limits, I saw, I don't know if it was Penn State that put out the photo, somebody did of their whole recruiting class, and it was two people.
Well, and at one point, Joe, it was expected to just be either a solo matchup or no one whatsoever, but they ended up signing two recruits.
Last I saw, Penn State's 26 recruiting class was ranked 130th, which would be great if there were 10,000 teams. There's only 136. 130 ain't good. What is going on here? What has happened? And what are they going to do? What is our friend Patrick, don't call me Milan Kraft, going to do out there? Let's talk to Corey Geiger from Sports Central. Been covering Penn State for a long, long time. He's on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Corey, thanks for joining us, man. Where do we stand with the Penn State coaching search?
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. As of right now, we still don't know. I think they've got to circle back and go back to some guys that they'd probably crossed off their list before. I do believe, I've heard this from some people, and then there have been some national reports about this, was they thought Kalani Sitake was pretty much a done deal. They'd worked on that a while. They thought they were going to get him. And so when that fell through, and when you spend a lot of time on a guy that you think is your final guy, you let other people kind of go by the wayside. And that's what ended up happening here. So there were other people that they could have gone to get, perhaps. It blows my mind, Joe. Guys, it blows my mind that Brian Hartline is going to USF. And because that's a guy that Penn State fans would have wanted from day one. And yet here he is going to USF for probably half the salary he could get at Penn State. That's the kind of thing that tells me that Pat Kraft just totally blew this. You probably could have gotten Brian Hartline a month ago and you would have pleased most people in the fan base.
All right. So let's wind it back a little bit. Who was plan A? Because maybe there wasn't one. I'm imagining that you can't really do this in October, fire your coach, if you don't have a plan A, somebody that you think is going to be right there when you call. Who was plan A?
I do believe plan A was Kurt Cignetti. I think that when they fired, let me make crystal clear this, because this seems to be getting lost in a lot of this discussion. Penn State did not make a mistake firing James Franklin. There are people out there now that want to do revisionist history and say that, you know, it was a mistake to fire James Franklin. It was not a mistake to fire James Franklin. I do not believe that at all. The mistake has happened since then by letting the coaching search linger and linger and linger and linger, and you've created this gigantic mess for yourself. But people who want to go back and say, well, they never should have let James Franklin go in the first place, I just think that's totally wrong. He had completely checked out. He had lost the entire fan base. It was a toxic situation around James Franklin, and he had to go. And if you think about that time frame, guys, I think Kurt Cignetti was probably number one on Pat Kraft's list. He probably thought, hey, I can go offer him $10, $12 million, and he'll come. Well, with less than a week after James Franklin's fired, Kurt Cignetti gets his extension at Indiana. So when Kurt Cignetti was off the list, Pat Kraft is probably sitting there thinking, okay, Matt Rhule could still be, you know, a safe net kind of candidate. Well, then Matt Rhule fell off the list. And at that point, I think Pat Kraft started to find himself in a whole lot of trouble.
Man, I'll say, Corey Geiger on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline. Okay, what happened with Hartline? I've been seeing reports of Jimmy Sexton, the powerful agent, Franklin's agent, sort of poisoning the well here? Is there any truth to that? Is he also Hartline's agent? Maybe those are two separate questions. Do you believe that Sexton has been poisoning the well, and what happened with Hartline?
Yeah, I am not typically one to buy into conspiracy theories, but I do think there probably is something to the Jimmy Sexton component, at least to a degree. Not that he's out there saying, do not go to Penn State, but I think there are probably ways that he can slightly sabotage the situation here and there. I don't know if Hartline is a Sexton client. I didn't look at that. But I think they probably could have got, I don't know that Pat Kraft wanted Brian Hartline. That's the bottom line for me, is I think Pat Kraft wanted an established head coach, and Brian Hartline is not that. And look, I've heard from some people at Ohio State who said Brian Hartline wasn't ready. He wasn't ready for the Penn State job. Just because you're a tremendous recruiter and offensive coordinator and the best wide receivers coach in the country doesn't mean you're ready to become the CEO of Penn State football. Not just the head coach of Penn State football. There are two jobs here. There's the head coach of Penn State football, and then there's the CEO of Penn State football, which is the face of a $1 billion professional sports organization. And I don't know that Brian Hartline was ready for any of that, or at least Pat Kraft probably felt like he might not have been ready for any of that. But yet now he's going to go down to South Florida a month and a half later. You're sitting here with no one. And it leads me to believe that Pat Kraft probably crossed people off his list far earlier than he should have, thinking that, again, whether he fully thought Kalani Sitake was a done deal or not, it kind of seems like he thought he could just zero in on one guy and let everybody else fall by the wayside.
Is there a next choice now? And how would the fan base feel about Terry Smith, the interim coach, staying on?
All right, so this is where things get really tricky. I think the next choices are probably a Brian Daboll kind of guy, Manny Diaz, although there's history with Manny and Pat Kraft. There's Kenny Dillingham at Arizona State, Matt Campbell, the kind of names that you hear a lot of. Me personally, I think you should probably just go ahead. Now, Kalen DeBoer is still interesting. If Alabama loses, and by chance, if Alabama is going to miss the playoff, there's still a possibility Pat Kraft pulls a rabbit out of the hat there and gets Kalen DeBoer. But really, you're probably very, very close to having to hire Terry Smith at this point. But I got to bring this up. This is something not a lot of people are going to want to hear. It's not something that has been addressed a lot in the coaching search, but Terry Smith has a lot of Joe Paterno connections. Do you know who doesn't have a lot of Joe Paterno connections? Most of the leadership running Penn State University right now. When Terry came out and wore the Joe 409 pin, he got a lot of support from former players, from fans who still love Joe Paterno. He's talked about Joe Paterno several times. You know how often James Franklin ever talked about Joe Paterno in 12? Virtually never. Like, never. He completely distanced himself from it. Bill O'Brien distanced himself from Joe Paterno. It's not like Penn State University is being run by a bunch of people that are loyal to Joe Paterno and have a lot of time. They're run by Pat Kraft, doesn't have a connection. Neely Bindaputi, the president, doesn't have a connection. So what I'm trying to say in a roundabout sort of way is, Terry Kraft linking himself to Joe Paterno probably hurts Terry Smith linking himself to Joe Paterno probably hurts Terry Smith's candidacy in the eyes of a lot of current people at Penn State who just simply don't want their head coach every 2 or 3 or 4 weeks for the next 3-4 years bringing up Joe Paterno. It's not something that a lot of people at Penn State want right now.
Yeah, at this point, do you think, Corey, that putting Terry Smith in position, even if it's just for a year, because one thing that I would be concerned about as a Penn State fan is they're going to make a hire just for the purpose of making a hire, and then it will not be the right one. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that?
Yep. Yeah, sure. That's absolutely a concern. And Terry Smith could keep a lot of the current players on the team. You do have to have a football team next year. They're going to lose 70-plus probably people. You have virtually no recruiting class. You're going to have to do everything through the portal. And let's back up a little. It is still Penn State. You're still going to be playing in front of 107,000 people. You're going to be on national TV every game. They will still get players. Okay. They're not going, just like it was unreasonable to think that they were going to fall off a cliff after the scandal. Bill O'Brien kept the ship afloat. They're not going to fall off a cliff and go 3-9 here. They're going to, the schedule sets up to where they've got some wins. They'll field a team that's pretty competitive, but next year could be kind of rough. 7-5. I doubt 6-6, but who knows? Until you actually get a coach. But the problem with hiring Terry Smith on like that 1 year to 2 year kind of basis is, how can you go recruit anybody then either? Every kid, even if they think they might enter the portal in a year or two, every kid wants to think that his head coach is going to be there for 3 or 4 years. I don't think you're going to commit to Terry Smith if Penn State has only committed to him for a year or two. So this is where things get very, very, very dicey. Because again, I think Terry Smith could probably do a really good job at Penn State. I don't know that he's winning a national championship, but I think he could do a good job. And it would please a lot of people. But again, that's why I go back to the other component of it. Believe me, there are people at Penn State right now in leadership that do not want Joe Paterno's name mentioned all the time. And there probably is a significant fear that Terry will bring that link to the past that is not really wanted.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Two-part question here. What are the chances that Pat Kraft gets fired? And also, yeah. I saw a report today that upper-level administrators are becoming more involved in this search.
Yeah.
Truth to that?
Absolutely. There's no doubt about that. A couple of people I've talked to said they're surprised it didn't happen sooner. We're on day 53 here. So I'm absolutely sure that other people are stepping in. The issue with Pat Kraft is they're still trying to pay for a $700 million stadium renovation. Okay, they're still trying to pay for NIL. And up until basically 3-4 weeks ago, Pat Kraft was considered, really, he was kind of doing an excellent job for most people because he's helped raise a lot of money. He's a great fan. He's visible all the time. He can go into a room and he can shake hands with the big donors. And they've had tens of millions of dollars donated over the last, say, 8 months or so. I think they're probably around $70, $75 million within the last year donated. Well, Pat Kraft has done a good job with a lot of those things. Okay. So he does those parts of the job well that you need an athletic director to do. He has just completely botched this coaching search, though. Quite frankly, if he had hired Terry Smith after they beat Nebraska a few weeks ago, it probably would have kind of united a lot of people because that was the time to do it. Now, if you have to go back to Terry Smith and say, we want you to be the coach, Terry knows he's the 10th, 15th, 20th option. The fan base knows he's the 20th option. The players know he's the 20th option. I mean, how do you, and if that's the case, yeah, I think Pat Kraft should be fired. If he's got to go hire Terry Smith because he has botched this so badly, then I think Pat Kraft has got to go.
Anything else, Limits?
Yeah, I'm just curious, Corey, what happens with the portal and where they go from here? Because clearly you can build a team through the portal, but can you realistically, which is the way that their recruiting has been, I feel like if you lose Terry Smith and not make him the coach, then you're losing basically the whole roster and you're bringing in 70 guys to basically just show up. And it's not like a basketball starting five where you can get five guys to work together. You're talking about 35, 40 guys that are going to legitimately contribute that are all new. It just seems like too much.
You can do it to a degree. Mel Tucker, who I know is, you know, things have gone badly for him the last couple of years. He did it at Michigan State a few years ago. He came in and basically, I think Kenneth Walker, that team that they had, that was basically a transfer portal team. Now, things are different now, and it's also December 4th. So whoever you hire is already behind the eight ball on the portal. It is Penn State. They can go find players to spend $20, $25 million on and kids that would want to come. But it's going to be a tremendous uphill battle at this point because everybody else is already doing their own portal homework and research and trying to get guys and making contacts. So, again, you've lost a recruiting class. You can get guys from the portal. Will they be enough good players to try to win 9 or 10 games next year? No, probably not. Can you get enough good players to win 7 or 8 games? Again, the schedule next year is manageable. They don't play Ohio State. They don't play Oregon. They do play Michigan. So if they've got a somewhat decent team, they could still have a shot next year to just avoid calamity. But this has got to happen soon. It's got to happen within the next few days because, again, you've got to start getting somebody on board with talking to kids in the portal and trying to convince them to come.
50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Corey, last question. Drew Aller, how do you imagine he fares in the NFL draft?
Drew will go to the combine. Well, let's see. Depending on his health, because it'll determine a lot on whether he's back and fully healthy and ready to go. If he were, let me assume that he is. Drew Aller is the kind of guy that's going to go to the combine and everybody's going to love him, okay? Because he's going to have all the measurables and he's going to throw the ball well and he's the nicest guy. He's going to answer the questions well. He's going to win the interviews. The problem with Drew Aller is he can't read defenses. So, no, I do not think Drew Aller is going to fare all that well in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I think he will get a shot and multiple shots because he can be a good teammate and good leader. But ultimately, you have to make certain throws in the NFL. You have to throw people open. You have to make decisions. And Drew Aller never really did any of that in college. He was just in the wrong system. He remained loyal to James Franklin. And quite frankly, if Drew Aller would have left a couple of years ago and gone somewhere else like an Ole Miss to better utilize his skills, it would have made him better prepared for the NFL.
Great stuff, Corey, from Sports Central. We appreciate you taking the time, man.
Thank you, fellas. Appreciate it. Have a good day.
See ya. How about that, oh, limitless wonder? That leaves me thinking that it's going to be Terry Smith.
Yeah, I think it's a possibility, and that Pat Kraft's job would be on the line. I mean, it is on the line clearly right now, but it would basically be done. You're talking about
what a colossal embarrassment for Kraft and Penn State.
You're talking about an athletic director that the volleyball team won the national championship last year. The wrestling team dominates every single year and wins national championships. Hockey went to the Final Four, and the football team was in the Final Four. Yeah. And you're getting fired because you botched the football coaching search because that's ultimately what matters, football.
I should have asked Corey this question. Do you think it was solely Kraft who made the Franklin decision?
I'm sure that there was some influence from boosters, but the relationship between Kraft and Franklin was getting sour, especially after
I want to get Geiger back on the line now to ask him that question. Can you text him that one? How could we have forgotten Limits?
I think he's still on the video.
Is he? Tell him. Ask him.
Yeah, he's still there. Corey, you still there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I have a last question for you, Corey. Can you hear me?
Yeah. I heard it, Joe. I do not believe it was solely Pat Kraft's decision, because what it ended up happening reportedly was that James Franklin went to Pat Kraft for a raise, because that's what James Franklin tried to do all the time, was leverage every cent that he could. Pat Kraft was he was told no by Pat Kraft. And then he went above Pat Kraft and asked either the president or other people within administration for a raise. And that pissed off Pat Kraft. And so I think that was really a big part of the beginning of the end. But no, Pat Kraft could not have fired James Franklin on his own with a $50 million buyout at the time without getting approval.
Then who did? Where does the buck stop? Who's the person who says you can or can't do it? There's got to be somebody.
Well, that would be the president, Neely Bindapudi. They have been in lock, stock, and barrel for a couple of years now on their, what James Franklin called alignment. You'll hear the word alignment from James Franklin a lot. And Pat Kraft and Neely Bindapudi were in alignment. I do believe it was Pat Kraft's decision to fire him, but I'm certain that he got approval from Neely Bindapudi.
Perfect. Now I feel perfectly educated on this. Thank you, Corey.
How about this tweet from Tony Rojas, the star linebacker, just tweeted, Corey, we stand with Terry or nobody else. That simple.
Yeah.
He just tweeted that 3 minutes ago.
But again, these are young people, emotions. They love Terry, good person. But the rest of the administration and Pat Kraft, they don't have that history with Terry. So it's one thing for 20-year-old people to fall in love with the assistant coach. You see that all the time when coaches are fired, but that doesn't mean that everybody else thinks it's the right decision.
Is Franklin taking shots at Penn State with things like the crumble cookies he served at the recruiting day and everything else he's doing? Who's the crumble cookie guy? Is that Virginia Tech's guy or BYU's
BYU.
Guy?
No, it's BYU. Jason McGowan is the CEO. Yeah, absolutely. James is taking shots at Penn State. Tremendous. That was tremendously well played. And look, I'll criticize James for a number of things, but James, that was, hey, kudos to you, man. That was pretty funny there with the crumble cookies at Virginia Tech signing day.
Thank you, Corey. That is unbelievable limits. The crumble cookie guy who stepped in to keep the BYU coach from basically from going to Penn State. And then at James Franklin's recruiting day yesterday, when he took, well, pretty much all of Penn State's class, what, 11 players?
Oh, he took 20, actually.
They serve crumble cookies. That is unbelievable.
Yeah, he gets the petty game ball of the day, I think, Joe. And did you see that BYU fans were also sending crumble cookies to the Penn State administration building for Pat Kraft with now, Pat Kraft's name on it?
It would have been real obvious if he served Peachy Paterno ice cream. Is that what they serve there?
At the creamery.
At the creamery. That would have really been a little too obvious, I think. Yes?
All the above.
That is a big move. All right.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.